Marines are coming home in coffins. Some are coming from Beirut and some from Grenada, where, according to the Reagan administration, the Soviets and Cubans were setting up a military base. Were the Cubans planning to take over the island? We'll ask the Cuban representative to Washington and the number two man at the State Department. Is the U.S. asking Israel to help retaliate against the Beirut bombing? We'll ask Israel's defense minister and a United States senator. Is President Reagan right in seeing Soviet adventurism behind most of the world's trouble spots? America's new role in the world, an issue facing the nation.
From CBS News, Washington, Face the Nation, with White House correspondent Leslie Stahl.
With me now is the Cuban representative to the United States, Ramon Sanchez Perotti. Mr. Perotti, President Reagan says that your government, the Cuban government, was setting up a military outpost on Grenada to export terrorism. Your government denies that, but what were all those weapons for, and what were all those soldiers doing on the island of Grenada?
Well, it's very clearly, and we have stated that the weapons that have been thrown in Grenada are part of the weapons that were to be used by the militia there, the Grenadians militia in that country. But due to the situation that arose in Grenada that led to the killing of Maurice Bishop, those weapons were not being handed out to the militias face any external threat and invasion.
Mr. Perotti, there were enough weapons to supply an army of 10,000 men. Grenadian militia was only about 2,000.
I have not seen any specific rundown of the weapons, of the number of weapons, the kind of weapons. In fact, from what I've seen from some of the tapes of the Defense Department, some of them were very outmodeled.
These are American government pictures of what was found in Grenada. The narrator is U.S. Navy Admiral Wesley McDonnell.
Initial analysis of Point Salinas, after it was secured, revealed a major Cuban base, including the initial construction of new large storage buildings. Equipment and ammunition stores discovered could have supplied a vast number of troops. Impersonating as construction workers, Cuban soldiers' resistance was well organized, with fire being well aimed and directed. Assessment indicates they were well-trained professional soldiers. Documents indicate that at least 1,100 are on the island. The overwhelming evidence from our ground troops is that Cubans, not Grenadians, were in the forefront of the fighting.
I would like to take issue with some of the statements that Admiral McDonald made. In fact, today we have had some information in the press that the Defense Department is scaling down their number, their estimate of Cuban troops or Cuban personnel there.
In fact,
they are saying that it's only up to 700 to 750. In fact, it's a little larger than that. There were 784 Cubans in the island at that time.
And were they soldiers?
Not really. They were not soldiers. They were people who were construction workers. In fact, one should ask himself why. It's very easy to assess whether someone is a highly trained professional soldier or not, just by looking at them, discussing with them, seeing them even as a whole group. There are more than 600 Cubans who are prisoners of the American forces there. And no journalists have been allowed to discuss with them, to interview them, to see them. I think that any journalist will very easily be able to assess whether they are highly trained soldiers or not. Plus the fact that Admiral McDonnell had been said 2 days ago that there was a stiff resistance from 500 Cuban soldiers on the island. Now they are saying that there were not that number. There were no Cuban soldiers. And where did the resistance came
what,
from?
What?
Not from Cubans. There are no Cuban soldiers.
What
there.
Were all those weapons for, if not to export terror, as President Reagan says?
How can you export terrorists that way? First, how you can do it from Grenada. Second, what about the militias?
What about that runway you were building, that airport runway?
That's very clearly, in fact, that's very clearly stated, and it was stated by Maurice Bishop, it was stated by the Cubans, that that was for economic reasons, for tourism activities. In fact, the same way in which the U.S. could, in some, let's say, easy way, occupy that airstrip, made it more clear, more evident that it was not able, it was not an airstrip that could be easily defended in military terms.
Yeah, well, you were building something. In addition, there were bunkers all the way around. There was anti-aircraft weaponry.
The Cuban workers there only had some very light weapons that were issued to them by the Bishop government in case of any foreign invasion of the country, as finally happened, and those were the only weapons that they had.
Okay, Mr. Perotti, will Cuba retaliate against the United States?
Retaliate? That's not the way we think things have to be dealt with. I think that the fact is that the United States have blatantly violated international law. It has invaded a country. It's now occupying a country. It's not a question of retaliation. It's a question of abiding by international laws, by international standards, and the United States is not doing this. I think that the international public opinion, the world opinion, is condemning this action of the United States, and the United States should heed these voices and should withdraw as quick as possible from Grenada.
What about the evacuation of the Cubans on the island? Is that going forward now?
Well, we have accepted the mediation, the efforts of the presidents of Spain and of Colombia and also of the International Red Cross. But the fact is that as to this moment, as far as I know, the United States has not provided any information about this to either to the International Red Cross or to the Colombians or to the Spaniards. And at this moment, there are no, we don't know for certain what has happened to the Cubans there and when will they come back home.
Do you know if there are Cubans fighting on the nearby island of Carriacou?
Well, you know, from the account that we have, out of those 784 Cubans who were on the island, perhaps little as 19 can be not accounted for.
19. That's
less
it.
Than 20.
Thank you, Mr. Perotti. Earlier this morning, we talked with Moshe Arens, the Israeli defense minister, and asked him if Israel knows who's responsible for the bombing of the Marine headquarters in Lebanon.
I think there's little doubt at all. It's the Syrians. And the reason we know that it's the Syrians, first of all, it's got to be a group with that kind of subhuman moral standards, and that's the Syrians. It has to be a group that has the motivation. And that's the Syrians. They're trying to bring the Jamal government down. They're trying to get the multinational force to leave Beirut. And thirdly, it's got to be a group that has the means and the implements. And that's only the Syrians. Nobody else could have done it.
Now, a high-level delegation from the State Department is coming to Israel tomorrow. If they should ask Israel to help the United States retaliate against this bombing, would you agree?
Well, Larry Eagleburger will be coming over the day after tomorrow. And I don't think that it really would be very wise if I were to tell him ahead of time on your program just what my answer to this question is going to be, if he's going to ask that question.
Do you think the U.S. should retaliate? Let's say it is Syria. Should the United States retaliate against Syria?
It really would not be proper for me to offer this kind of gratuitous advice. I think it is important to understand that the United States and Lebanon and Israel are up against a very tough enemy here, the Syrians and the PLO, people who play this game with no holds barred. And I think we have to understand that these are their rules of the game, and it's going to take being pretty tough in order to be able to stand up to them.
Do you see any shift, any change in the situation over there in light of President Reagan's actions in Grenada?
I don't really know. I think that the actions in Grenada maybe are understood by the various countries and dictators in the Middle East as an indication of the strength of purpose and the willingness to pursue the objectives by the president and by the government of the United States.
So do you see any changes in the Middle East in light of it? And what would they be?
Well, it'll probably take a little more than that before everybody here will be convinced.
President Reagan, in his speech the other night, seemed to raise the stakes in Lebanon from just a civil war and internal feud to a major battleground for East-West contests and contests of will. Do you see it that way, too, or is President Reagan wrong in viewing Lebanon in that light?
No, I fully agree with the president. It is clear to everybody in the area, and I think should be clear to people in the United States, that the Syrians are out to dominate Lebanon. They don't want an independent Lebanon. They don't want an independent Lebanese government. They don't want to allow Lebanon to make peace with Israel or to arrive at any kind of settlement with Israel. And these are the Soviet objectives as well. They are putting their entire weight behind all that. And so the question of whether Lebanon is going to be aligned with the East or with the West, be independent or be a stooge of the Syrians and the Soviets, that is the question that all the fighting is all about here these last few months.
But your country is in the heart of the Middle East. Do you really want to see the United States wage a full attack against the government of Syria? You seem to be saying that we have to take that kind of action. Is that really what you're advising?
I didn't say any such thing. I just said that when it comes to keeping the Soviets out of the area, when it comes to keeping the Syrians and the terrorist movements from dominating the area, I believe that that's an objective that Israel and the United States share in common.
Joining me now are Deputy Secretary of State Kenneth Dam and Vice Chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee Daniel Patrick Moynihan. We want to discuss both issues, Grenada and the Middle East. But first, Grenada. Mr. Dam, you heard the Cuban representative to Washington deny that Cuba was setting up a military post on Grenada. Some people are now saying that the weapons we found were very antiquated, 100-year-old rifles and things like that. Do we actually have solid, hard evidence the Cubans were, in fact, setting up an outpost to export terrorism?
Well, you've heard, of course, what the Cubans and the Soviets are saying. I think you're right. We ought to look at what the facts are, and we are working very hard on that. We already have seen the vast stores of weapons. They don't look all that adequate to me. But beyond that, we've also found a treasure trove of documents, and we're analyzing those because we don't want to misrepresent what they show. But they show such things as, for example, there were three Soviet supply agreements with Grenada. There was a Cuban supply agreement with Grenada. There was a North Korean supply agreement. The Soviet agreement provided for the transshipment of goods through Cuba. All of these were military goods. And we will be able, as we analyze these, to summarize what's involved, and we hope to make these documents available. But I ask you, for example, why would the militia of Grenada require 18,000 uniforms?
Well, it's a good question, but as you well know, President Reagan has already been on television telling the people, the American people, that this was an outpost to export terrorism. You seem to be saying we haven't fully analyzed the situation. Are we pulling back from that assessment now?
Not at all. What we're saying is we now have the facts, and we're going to let the facts speak for themselves.
Senator Moynihan, you're on the Intelligence Committee. You got a briefing on all of this the other day. Are you convinced that this was a military outpost to export terrorism?
I'm convinced the American government had better let the American press onto that island to look at the situation. I think we were right in the Senate to invoke the War Powers Act in order to give Mr. Dam and his associates an opportunity to spell out what we have learned, what we knew in advance, and what we know now. That's to your advantage to do that.
Has the administration rushed to judgment here, do you think?
It will be said so if other people can't independently confirm that judgment, and that is
okay.
Not now the case.
Our government told us, without the press being there, that there were 1,100 Cubans, and half that group were fighting in the hills. Now you say that's not true. What is wrong with our intelligence mechanism that we're not being able to figure out what's happening on the ground there?
Well, it's difficult to know how many people are shooting at you. I understand that larger judgment was based upon some documents, but now that we've gotten better information, we've gotten a new estimate. These are estimates. I agree with you. We ought to have the press on the ground, and I understand at least 150 are going to be there today.
Senator, how concerned is the Senate that the administration is not giving the public good information?
Oh, very much. We passed a resolution yesterday asking the press be on the island, which is going to be the case. We are probably going to send a bipartisan group down there. The leaders were talking about that yesterday. We want to feel good about our country and have the facts that will enable us to defend it, and we haven't had them. And what we do know is that all around the world, our allies are furious with us. And that concerns us. The Canada, at minimum, is just, they're wild up there. In Britain, in France, in West Germany. And that concerns the Senate.
Now, the president hasn't really explained the legal justification for our going in there. And this seems to be one of the bases for our allies being so up in arms. How are we going to turn world opinion around if the president is out saying it's a military outpost and we can't even prove it at this point?
Oh, I don't think that there's any a doubt about the facts that there are all these weapons there and so forth. I don't think that's the question. I'm not sure whether you're asking me about the legal justification or...
Well, I'm asking you how you're going to turn world opinion around you don't seem to even have the facts fully at this point, and you've already been out in public making claims about what the Cubans were doing when we don't seem to be able to completely prove it.
Well, it takes a little while to go through all those weapons and all those documents. We're being shot at on Grenada.
You say it takes a while, and yet you've already been out making the accusation.
Well, I think that I've given you some of the facts, and we certainly are going to do this in a serious way. We welcome the Congress coming to look at the situation.
What about
the press? We welcome the press. The press are on the island today. There's no problem about that. I think that there were some disputes about whether they should have gone ashore with parachuted in and come up across the waves, but my impression is that there's no problem and there's no censorship.
Why did you keep the press off for 3 days?
I think there's a difference of opinion. It was for the safety of the people on the island, the Americans on the island, and of the military forces.
Well, I don't think we ought to debate the press question. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Dam. Is the United States government planning an invasion of Nicaragua?
No.
Flatly no?
No.
Not even a contingency plan?
I have no idea what may be in some drawer somewhere in the Pentagon. The administration is not talking about, not planning any invasion of Nicaragua.
Senator, are there questions about...
Well, I would just like to say the situation is entirely different. This is not a situation where we fear for the lives of American citizens. This is not a situation in which we have a request from a regional organization recognized by the OAS and the United Nations.
Mr. Dam, if there hadn't been any Americans on the island of Grenada, would we have gone in?
We would have had then, as I said in one of my appearances in the Congress, a situation where, as a law professor, I'd love to have asked that question of my class. It's a totally hypothetical situation.
What's
you said
the answer?
That in a classified briefing in the Intelligence Committee. Now, stand up and we talk.
But what's the answer? What if there were no Americans? Would this administration have gone in and invaded the...
We then would have had a very tough decision, because we would have had a situation in which the surrounding islands in an international organization would have been requesting our assistance, and have been a much tougher situation. That wasn't the situation we were faced with.
Senator Moynihan, in light of what President Reagan did when the Russian shot down the Korean airliner, how much of a public relations campaign do you expect the Soviets to launch portraying this administration as warmongers now?
Oh, it's happened. Yesterday, there were 500,000 people at a rally in the Netherlands denouncing our policy. What worries so many of us is that the administration has made our allies had put them in the position of having to defend an alliance against their own public opinion. And there was a case for protecting Americans if they were truly in difficulty. There is no grounds in law for what we did, but there may have been grounds of necessity. Listen, the Cuban you were just speaking with did not, at one point, referred to those people as Cuban troops. And they are paramilitary. They later said they weren't. But look, are they soldiers? Admiral McDonald says these are professional soldiers. That's a matter of a question of fact. You can establish whether a person is a part of a regular armed force. And those facts are necessary if this isn't going to go on costing us. 3, 4, 5 presidents out from now.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch to the Middle East. You heard Moshe Aaron say that the Syrians were behind the bombing of the Marine headquarters. Do we have evidence to support that, and will we retaliate, Mr. Dam?
Well, we're looking very carefully at the evidence and trying to get more specific evidence than the kind of general circumstantial evidence that Mr. Aaron was talking about. We see evidence, circumstantial still, of rather deep Iranian involvement, and we certainly believe that the Syrians must have been cognizant of what was going on.
If we have evidence that the Syrians were involved in any way, can we really retaliate with 7,000 Soviet advisors in their country?
Well, retaliation it comes in many shapes and sizes, and we're looking at all of the options.
We're running quickly out of time. I must ask you, the Israelis offered medical help for the wounded Marines in Beirut, 15 minutes away from the site. Why did we turn down their request?
Well, as I understand it, that was an operational decision made on the ground because of the plans that we had for handling our own
But
wounded.
15 minutes away, a burn center, a top-notch hospital.
Oh, we have very good facilities, too.
Yeah, but way away in Wiesbaden. Weren't we concerned about lives?
We should have been thinking of the Israelis as our only friends in the region that we can depend on, close at hand, armed. We should have involved them. You can't send your people in a passive way. Mr. Ahrens made it very clear when asked, were the Syrians involved? What would Israel do? He said, you know what Israel would have done. We have done nothing. We've said a lot, but done nothing, and getting in close touch with Israelis is fundamental if we're not going to be just driven out there in disaster.
Thank you, gentlemen. Charges of unprecedented censorship have been leveled at President Reagan. For 2 days, the reporting and the pictures of the fighting in Grenada came only from the government. Not since World War I has the press been denied access to a battlefield in this way. Here are some editorial opinions. James Whalen of the Washington Times.
I think there are values which are higher than those of our deadlines or our convenience in the media. I think one of those values is human life, and I believe in this instance it was necessary to protect human life, that the operation be conducted in a lightning fashion, in a surprise fashion, so as to minimize losses.
CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
I think they've got every right to keep parts of operations and so forth secret until such time as they can be revealed. But history someday should have a right to catch up with them. And we don't have any way to catch up with them, eventually even, if we're not there to observe in the first place.
J.W. McQuaid, editor of the Manchester, New Hampshire Union Leader.
There is an open question in my mind and in our newspaper's mind about whether the kind of home TV front coverage of Vietnam was in the country's best interest.
Robert Maynard, editor of the Oakland Tribune in California, has a different view.
But the case for secrecy here is bizarre for a simple reason. The Russians and the Cubans tracked us clear across the Atlantic and knew our intentions all along. The only people who didn't know were the American people.
While reporters complain of press censorship, they are being criticized for overcoverage of the grief of those who lost sons and husbands in Beirut. The Wall Street Journal says the television hurts its standing with the public by overwhelming the families of Beirut-based Marines. And cartoonist Pat Oliphant drew the press's jackals, asking for a little more anguish for the cameras, please. But the Jacksonville, North Carolina Daily News, the paper that serves the Marines at Camp Lejeune, suggests that showing the agony of loss may be more than just a heartless media exercise. The world must be reminded over and over that Marines are not just pawns. They are also husbands, fathers, brothers, friends, and next-door neighbors. We must never lose sight of that fact, lest conflict become too palatable. Thank you for joining us. I'm Leslie Stahl.
This has been Face the Nation with CBS News White House correspondent Leslie Stahl. Her guests today were Ramon Sanchez Parodi, Cuban representative to the United States, Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Ahrens, Democratic Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan of New York, and Kenneth Dam, Deputy Secretary of State. Also participating in the broadcast were James Whalen of the Washington Times, CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite, Joe McQuaid of the Manchester Union Leader, and Robert Maynard of the Oakland Tribune.